Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I don't know about y'all. I got down last night. We boogied a little last night. College football's back. Baby! Oh, it felt so good. It felt so right. It felt so nice to sit down in the Bro Cave
and
yesterday
watch a
evening.
Bunch of blowouts.
Again, I've in all my years of doing the radio, I've never met anybody who actively dislikes football like Lonzo does. It's frankly incredible for a man who shows up wearing football jerseys 2 days in a row that he shows up wearing football jerseys when he clearly doesn't like anything.
I've worn football jerseys the entire week, and here's the other thing: I love good football. What that was last, there was only one good game last night, really, or maybe two. But there was one that the entire nation was watching that was considered a good game.
Money, 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 money.
Everything else, I mean, people just look at the stats to find out what happened.
I mean,
except for weirdos who have 10 screens. And there's no way you have that many eyes.
Don't need them. Don't need them. I can point my eyes in different directions. I can actually do it quickly. I've been practicing my entire life, and I did it last night because North Carolina, Minnesota was a slapper, eh? The Golden Gophers, P.J. Fleck, row the boat, eh? North Carolina, Mack and the gang go up north and take a win for the ACC against the Big Ten last night.
Wait, who'd they beat?
Minnesota.
The Golden Gophers. That powerhouse of Minnesota.
Again.
That team that's always near the top every single year, and you don't know if they're going to win the Big Ten or not.
I hope.
Now, the good games start tomorrow.
I hope.
This was like a bad appetizer. That was way too small. There's a couple of the bites taste kind of good. The rest of them is just like, okay, why is there so much grizzle on my plate? Now, tomorrow, we actually get real football for the first time this season.
Yeah, if you watch football last night, you're dumb and stupid. That's what you are.
No, if you got excited about that mess that was
dumb,
on last night.
You're dumb
night.
And stupid if you liked football yesterday. No, only smart people are watching tomorrow.
You're the one who always talks about, you know, intelligence. I would never bring intelligence in this because I'm always the dumb one, supposedly. So no.
Bunch of dummies enjoying football last night. The audacity you have to sit up last night and watch football
by
and
the way,
enjoy it.
We're just talking about you. I mean, because you're probably the only one who watched that much football.
No, I'm not.
You and your five.
My social media feed was a chock-a-block full.
All five of them.
Of dudes and dudettes last night. So this is that, once again, that thing where if Zoe says, this is what I think, that means everybody thinks that he is, of course, a man of the people.
Well, you just said that I said everyone was dumb, and now you're saying that I say other things when you should not speak for me. Because if you were in my mind, you would not.
How's that feel?
Yeah, well.
So what you're saying is.
I have never spoken for you. Because,
so what you're saying is.
Because I know my place.
So dramatic. So dramatic out of the gate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate to the chagrin, shock, disappointment. I don't know, of the great one. Yeah, we are going to dive into what happened last
lies.
Night.
Lies. Those are not lies. I cannot wait to talk about football. The one game that anyone paid attention to. Hopefully we're going to get a breakdown of that game. Look, it's on TV right now. Look, they're talking about it right now.
We are, because I'm going to tell you flat out, last night Deion Sanders almost Mario Cristobal'd himself into an L. I want you to know I had a very 180 of emotion yesterday because, as I spent the entire day saying yesterday, I'm pulling for Deion Sanders to be good because college football is better when there are personalities in it. I want that cult of personality involved. It's just more fun. Whether you love him or you hate him, it's fun to have a personality to root for or against. And I was pulling for Deion, and then with about 1:35 left to play in the game, Deion started doing dumb things, and I found myself suddenly a gigantic North Dakota State University fan pulling for the upset.
Because if you've proven in the last 5 minutes you don't like dumb things. So
yeah, like, you know, throwing the ball out of a 5-wide shotgun with 1:30 and a lead to stat pad your son's numbers.
All right, it was pretty dumb. But
it wasn't dumb, it was stupid.
At the same time, if you watched how accurate he had been the entire game, and how how amazing the quarterback play was. Maybe he just had more confidence that he was going to be able to do what he had been doing the entire game.
It turns out.
Like 6-for-6, 7-for-7, something like that when the game first started and he was throwing darts? He's really good. I know he's going up against a lower-level team, but Sanders, better than what I thought.
Great one. If you put the Chiefs out there in the exact same situation and they were turning Mahomes loose, throwing not just throwing the ball, but throwing deep shots down the football field, you would lose your mind. And so would I on your behalf. I don't care if it's Patrick Dan Mahomes himself. Run the ball, run the clock. Here's the thing. They got to a point where they didn't need first downs. All you got to do is keep the clock running and you win the game. And he's still throwing Hail Marys. What are we doing, Prime?
All right, the real story here is how porous the defense is for Colorado. They're going to get rocked this entire season if they can't figure out the defense, which is surprising seeing as how the head coach is a defensive guy. But the defense horrible. Is North Dakota State that good on offense?
Yeah, pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah, pretty good.
Because that's my first takeaway from this game was how bad the defense was for Colorado.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, but there were guys wide open, dude. I mean, like people not within 5 yards of them, especially in the fourth quarter when it mattered most. That defense was not playing that good.
Gosh, it's almost like I know Ballin said exactly what was going to happen in that game. Almost. And here's the thing. It didn't have to be that close. It didn't have to be that panic-inducing for Colorado. It really did not. It really did not. But here's what happened. And I'm convinced. I picked up on a theory last night after that was my take from Wednesday on BetMGM Tonight and the BetQL Network, a take that turned out to be 100% correct. From start to finish, top to bottom. I jumped onto a theory last night. Because I went yesterday, I picked up the wedding suit, Lonzo, chef's kiss. I look good.
Of course you do.
I look good. It's green. I didn't know it was going to. It's green, but it's got this shine to it. It's got this little sheen. Not overwhelming, not obnoxious, not like Elton John on stage, but it's got just this little bit of sheen to it. Looks good. All right. So I picked up the suit.
Okay. How long did you stare at yourself?
I may have done a lap or two around the suit store.
Okay. Did you do the catwalk or did you do the Vince McMahon?
No, they put me in one of those I would just call them like indentations in the wall where it's like mirrors all the way around you and they're angled so you can get the full. Oh, I stared at my own butt for a hot minute. It didn't look saggy in this suit, son. It did. Son. I'm going to tell you right now.
Are you taking up glasswork so you can install one of those at your house?
Listen, I might, when I put this suit on for the wedding day, I might have to get somebody to like make a sculpture of me. That's how good it looked. I mean, just hotcha mama. All right. So we did that. And then the lady friend and I, because we did that at about 5:30, and then the right by the suit shop, there's a little wine bar that we like to go to. And we're like, hey, we got like 2 hours till kickoff. All right, let's go grab a couple of glasses of Chardonnay, maybe a nice little Cabernet Franc. All right, so we went and got some wine, got some charcuterie last night, got a little charcuterie board because football and charcuterie, like a dream. So we went and we were sitting there, and then I got in the car to drive home and was having a phone call with an old fraternity brother of mine. Wanted to talk a little bit. He had some questions about the wedding. He's invited, and we were having this conversation about it. And he said, hey, I saw your segment about Dion. He's like, do you think Dion's staying after this year? And I said, yeah, dude, I'm not on board with this whole Dion just took this job to elevate his boy to the NFL and then he's gonna bounce. And then last night happens and now I'm like, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Prime's gonna stay there long enough to get Shador into the top 3 or 4 picks in the draft next year, and then he's gonna bounce from the Buffs. He's gonna be out. Because last night, anybody with an iota of working football knowledge, anybody with an iota of working football knowledge was screaming at Deion Sanders through their TV last night. I'm going to tell you right now, about 8, 9, 10, 15 people better be banned from asking Deion Sanders questions after today, because there is no world in which even I, the non-confrontational, pacifist, softy that I am, even I...
Except on this show.
Except on this show. The non-confrontational pacifist softy that I am, even I would have been in Deion's grill last night. Deion, hi. Rob Brown from The Fan Upstate. Congratulations on opening the season with the win. Quick question about the last drive of your team. What the hell were you thinking, bud? What's the play? Why are you having your son take seven-step drops in the pocket with a four-wide set and wing 20-yard passes down the field when you needed the clock to run? Can you please explain it to me? Because the popular thought out there on social media, Prime, and I know that you operate on social media. I know that you operate on clicks. I know that you love the attention. That's how Prime became Prime, and I'm good with that. I really am. Love having you here in Boulder, Coach. But what the hell were you thinking? Because I'm not a columnist, so I shan't advance my opinion. But if I was going to, Prime, I'd say that was real dumb. That was real dumb. Prime, why are you not handing off the football and keeping the clock running? Especially when you're down inside of, what was it, 57 seconds or whatever, and a run would have basically ended the clock. And by the way, Colorado got real, real lucky, because there was a clear and obvious targeting that was missed in that game, one that I called in real speed. In real time. I'm like, that's
targeting.
By the way,
there were a lot of missed calls in this game on both sides, so it wasn't just a one-sided thing. It was all over the place. It was the first game for these referees also.
I won't disagree. This one was the single most egregious missed call of the night. It wasn't like it was like, oh, debatable. No, it wasn't. Now, that's textbook. They should take in refereeing school, when they're teaching, when it's targeting day at ref school, they should just put that clip on repeat. This is targeting. This right here, this is it. This is the definition of top to bottom. This is targeting. But put that aside, and the fact that it would have added 15 more yards and taken a Colorado defender off field and given North Dakota State about an extra 12 seconds on the clock. And anybody who watched that last clip, you know 12 more seconds, all the Bison would have needed was about 5 more yards to put that thing away and ice that bad boy and steal that win. But that's not anything Deion has direct control over, so I won't hold that against him. What I will hold against him is, why are you stat padding your child at the detriment of your football team?
Again, I we watched two different things. I can see why you would have that angle, because obviously it would, or all right, it's obvious to a lot of people, and you'll deny it, that you kind of have something against Deion. I'm sorry, Coach Prime. But Sanders, the one on the field, had a hot hand the entire game, was throwing darts. It was amazing to watch how good he was actually playing at quarterback, and he just had confidence in the guy who was playing really well. Should he have run the ball? Absolutely. But were they able to run the ball the entire game? No. And I realized that North Dakota State wouldn't have been able to stop the clock, so it probably would have been a smart move to just run the ball. But I don't think it's pad statting. And how do we know?
How's it not? He's running 4 wide, 20-yard routes.
How do we know that a run and play wasn't called?
Then if you're calling run and plays, and Shador's in the huddle going, hey, you guys, you know what? My dad, 4 wide, run the streaks. Then get his ass out of the game. You know that's not what happened.
No, I don't know that's not what happened. I have watched him on several different shows and everything. He has an arrogance about him greater than his dad's arrogance. So I believe that is a possibility.
Okay, I'll address that. Fine. I will play the game and say that. I'll even say that is what happened. Deion's in there going,
power dive ISO left.
And Shador goes, y'all, that four wide, streaks nine, go down there. It's the old bleep it, horns down there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a hero, and I'm going to go out there and do what I've been doing the entire game. I don't care what Dad says. I'm going to throw a touchdown. You watch.
Let's say that happened. I am good to pretend that happened. Let's say that happened. All right? Let's say it happened. Then get his ass off the field. Not pulling him in that situation is as if not more egregious than not running the ball to the clock hitting zero. You run the ball, the clock goes to zero. That there is zero a single good reason anywhere that you are throwing the ball. And if your boy overruled you, threw it instead of running it, then yank him off the field. I don't care.
You're acting like this has never happened. Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl, there's a bunch of times where coaches should have run the ball and they didn't.
There is a difference between we have to score and if zero things happen, we win. Zero things happen, we win. It's a different world. Pete Carroll, I agree, should have run the ball. Give it to Marshawn, let him beast mode you. I agree entirely. But they had to score. You know what the Buffaloes had to do? Nothing. They had to accomplish nothing and they win the game. And they couldn't pull it off. Incredible. Incredible from Deion's Buffs. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio, the Fan Upstate, night number one in college football. Well, technically night number two in college football, but some of you don't have respect for week zero. So you got some week one action last night. No, Chelsea Messenger, I was not prepared. You're doing your own show. Stay off mine, Chelsea. I love Chelsea. She's the best. She's great. We're good now. I fixed it. I muted it. No more Chelsea. So,
are you sure?
1,000% for sure. I know what I did wrong there. I unmuted it so that I could play me, but then I left the BetQL feed up on accident. And Chelsea took over the show for a second.
You're playing more of you?
No, I'm done playing me. I got what I needed to play, which was me on Wednesday correctly and accurately predicting every damn thing that was going to happen yesterday evening in that game.
Except for the final thing where they should have run the ball. You didn't predict that
part. Correct, yeah. Because I couldn't imagine a world where if you told me that scenario was going to happen, I would have said, yeah, Deion's going four wide shotgun here. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Do you remember last year, the end of the Miami-Georgia Tech game, when Mario Cristobal's team just melted down and it cost them a win? Remember when the play calling last year, because Miami, who all they had to do was take a knee and they win the game, and instead they didn't do that? And instead of taking a knee and winning the game, they fumbled the football, and Georgia Tech got it back and took it down and went 74 yards to win the game, a 23-20 come from behind Yellow Jackets win behind Haynes King. Yeah, that. It was literally that level of dumb. A game last year that we are still making fun of this year. A game that happened nearly a full year ago that is going to be one of those games that I call a rent-free game. That game that is just always going to occupy real estate in your noggin, rent-free forever. There will never be a time when I hear, coming up this weekend, Miami, Georgia Tech, it's an AC, that I'm not going to go, kneel the ball, dummy. Kneel the ball. Just take a knee. This was that. When old boy last night for NDSU lobbed a Hail Mary down to the other end of the field, and it got tipped and bobbled and caught.
More proof of what I'm saying about Deion's defense. What do you do? In that, you bat it down. You don't bat it up.
Oh, for sure.
And they could have batted that ball down, and this conversation would be less of what it is.
I mean, it still wouldn't be, because if that's not North Dakota State, if that's Cam Rising in Utah, I mean, you're losing that game. You know, I don't know what to tell you. If Cam Miller had 5 more yards of arm strength in him, that's a touchdown. All right, you are correct. Knock the ball down. Knock the ball down. This is like elementary school. Not even like elementary level. This is elementary school football. When your all-time QB drops back and goes 500 and throws it up in the air, and you've got 400, so you can't catch it because you'll bust and go back to zero. You all remember 500, one of the greatest football games of all time. You never played 500?
Never heard of it. We played a lot of smear or something.
Oh, yeah, we don't do that anymore. We're past that, all right? We're past that.
It's now called kill the quarterback,
yeah.
Which is so much better,
yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, anyway, whatever. So explain this game that you're speaking of.
So 500, you got a guy who throws the ball up in the air. Everybody else is down on the other side of the field. And the guy with the football throws it way high up in the air, and then he calls out a point total. So he'll throw it up in the air, and right before it comes down, he'll say 100, 200, 300, 400. And the goal is to catch a point total that gets you to 500. And if you catch 500, you win. So if he throws it up in the air and he says 200 and you catch it, you have 200 points. But if he throws the next one up and he says 400, you don't want to catch it because you'll go over 500 back to zero. So then your job becomes play defense, knock the ball down so nobody else can catch it and get 400 points.
This is the nerdiest football game I've ever heard of. So it's football with math. I mean,
yes, it's very hard to add to 5.
That's real rough. You weren't in my neighborhood.
That's real rough.
You were not in my neighborhood.
I'm relatively sure even your teachers who chunk desk at their kids for misbehaving could get you to add to 5.
Oh, that was pre-algebra. So yeah. Yeah.
So they played a game of 500 with the final play. And if Cam Miller had another, like, 2 yards arm strength in him, that's a tutty. But put that aside for a minute. To me, the biggest thing that stuck out about this, this whole game, and I'm not just talking about the play selection from Deion, but it falls in the fold. I'm not just talking about them not knocking the ball down and allowing NDSU to catch it. If there's a if there's a running back with some quadzilla thighs down there, who's to say he doesn't put the shoulder pads on the wide receiver, just pick him up and push him into the end zone for a tutty and a dub, right? Forget all of that and add all of these mistakes together. Do you know what I got out of last night? I got out of last night that while the talent level for Colorado maybe did get better, right? I mean, you had Jimmy Horn Jr. last night, 198 yards of receiving and a tutty. Travis Hunter, 132 through the air and 3 touchdowns last night.
Quick question about him. If the draft were today, what position is he being drafted at?
Honestly, probably wide receiver. Maybe he's a two-way guy.
Yeah, after last night, I would think wide receiver.
I don't know.
I mean, all the things aside, didn't you think Colorado looked really fast on offense?
Colorado looks fast as hell, and they better be, because they're not beating anybody by playing football. They are going to win games by out-athleting people. That is literally when Deion got to Colorado. There's going to be a day where it's going to happen this season where I'm going to get real mad on a Saturday, and I'm going to go dig back a year and a half ago and dig up my take from the day Deion got hired. Because the take was, at Jackson State, Deion did not win by coaching a good football team. Deion won by getting incredible athletes and just having better athletes out there than the teams that he was playing. And that is easier to do. That is easier to do when you're playing FCS caliber ball. That's easier to do when you're playing HBCU ball. It's just easier. The athletic competition level isn't as high at that level, at the Jackson State level. And not just there, but like the Sun Belt, right? Same thing. The level of competition isn't as high. So if you can get D1 blue chip caliber talent and get him to play at that level, that's like playing, Madden, but on rookie mode. It doesn't matter if I'm good or not. All my players are faster than all your players. And I said when Deion got the job at Colorado, I'm like, y'all better look the hell out. Because what Deion's going to think is that Shador and Travis and all these dudes, who are absolutely dudes, Jimmy Horn Jr., absolutely a dude, ain't no doubt. But what Deion's going to think is what worked at Jackson is going to work at Colorado. That is, we're just going to go out there and we're just going to out-athlete you to death. Now, this is a good FCS team, North Dakota State, but it's an FCS team, right? This is a team who does have guys that transfer out to go play at Arkansas because they want to step up in talent. You did it against North Dakota State. What's going to happen if the guy out there across from him isn't Cam Miller, but Cam Rising? That's a different world, right? What's going to happen if instead of Cam Miller on the other side playing quarterback, what happens if the other side is Texas? All right, hell, let's just stay in the Big 12. Noah Fifita and Arizona. This team's not beating Arizona. This team's not beating Arizona State, to be honest. Ain't beating Kansas. Ain't beating Kansas State. I told you coming in, I am so grateful to the betting public. I am. Because y'all that bought in on the Deion thing, y'all played yourselves, all right? And Rob Brown, let's be clear. I don't make a lot of season-long bets, all right? I don't. I make a couple every now and then if I really like them. One of the ones that I really liked was Colorado under their win total. You know why? Because y'all bet it up a full game. A full game. I say y'all. You know who I'm talking about. If you didn't bet on Deion and the Buffs, you're not one of them. But just like last night, I said yesterday about that game, there is no reason Colorado should be favored by 10.5 points. They should be favored by probably closer to 6.5 points. They win by 5. I was spot on with it. The reason they were 10.5 is because of how many people out there have fallen for the shtick. Again, Prime is able, and so that we're clear, let me say one more thing real quick. Nick Saban's kind of the same way at Alabama. Nick Saban wasn't a great X's and O's tactician on game day. Nick Saban, though, did something Deion doesn't. And this is the biggest criticism. This is going to be the biggest problem. Nick Saban's team was the most disciplined team you were going to play all year. Nick Saban's team didn't make mental mistakes. And when they did, Nick crawled inside of the shoulder pads to berate him. That's how Nick Saban beat you. By beating you at the line of scrimmage, by having your game plan better down than you do, and by having a disciplined team that made very few, if any, mistakes. Deion's the other way around. Deion thinks we're just going to out-athlete everybody. Man, you can out-athlete North Dakota State. You're not out-athleting Arizona, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. I've already told you. I'm going under on the win total. They got one. Ready for the hot take? I'll give it to you now. It's Friday. We still got week one to put in the books. Lonzo, next week, Colorado goes to play Matt Rhule in Nebraska. Nebraska's winning that football game. Not winning that game. They're winning that game by 2 scores. Book it. Write it down now. Hold it against me.
What kind of ball? I haven't seen Matt Rhule play in college. Is he a run first kind of guy?
Yeah, he was at Temple and he was at Baylor. And the answer is he's a do-whatever-takes-to-beat-you.
I mean, come on.
Well, that's true. Lonzo hates football. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you stop with that. I'm going to talk to HR.
I thought you were the manager.
I am at this point, but I talked to myself already. It doesn't work.
I was going to say, you. Nebraska is going to beat Colorado next week because they're going to hold on to the football and keep the two best players off the field and just run them to death because it's an undisciplined ball club.
That would be the way. That's why I was asking if they run the ball a lot. And he didn't do that in Carolina, so why would he do that in college?
Because at Nebraska, you know, Carolina can't be OOU at Carolina. You can be OOU at Nebraska. The Nebraska co-OOU Huskers. Look out for them. All right. We'll get away from Deion and the Buffs when we come back. Look at some more week one matchups on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. J. Jacob said, Rob, you just dug up a very buried memory talking about 500, LOL. I sucked at that game. Yeah, I mean, it was a game you either did or you didn't.
It is so weird. I mean, I'm getting ready to turn 56, and the fact that I've never heard of this game.
I don't know how you didn't. It was like maybe you had.
Maybe it's regional. I mean, it could be just a southern thing.
I don't know.
Florida is still in the South. It's still in the South.
This was more along the lines of if you give 12 dudes a football, they're always going to come up with a game that is like half football talent and half beat the crap out of each other. I 500 just seems like a game I played everywhere I ever was as a kid. 71307 text line. Start your text with Fan, FAN. 71307. How many of y'all played 500 growing up? How many out there played the game 500 growing up? You know, you got one guy throws the ball way in the air, calls out a point total. The goal of the receivers is to catch exactly 500 points. If you catch over 500, you buzz. And then there were the things you didn't have to yell points. Like you could yell jackpot. And whoever caught that ball auto wins. Doesn't matter how many points you have, the jackpot auto wins.
Wow, that sounds like a way to get your boy to win.
No, that is more along the lines of, I've been throwing this football for 10 minutes and I want to play the game, so here, somebody else take over. You could throw up a bankrupt, which I never really understood. Like, don't you just automatically knock that down? But, you know, you could throw up a bankrupt. You could throw up, I don't remember all of them because I probably haven't played 500 in freaking 35 years at this point, but you could throw up all these other different things, and they meant whatever. 71307, start your text with Fan, FAN. How many of you played 500? That's my question for right now. Let's get to something. I had a very pleasant conversation yesterday. I told you guys yesterday on the show, I don't care how big or how small it is, if you host the podcast, I'll be happy to come on it. All right, to hang out, to talk, whatever you want. All right, you run a pod. I don't care how big or small it is. Email me rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. I'll come on if you want.
You're just talking sports, though, right?
I mean, nope.
The Flat Earth Society wants to talk to you.
I'll do theirs before I do a football podcast. All right, you bunch of dork ass losers. Read a magazine. I'll do yours today. All right. So the gentleman of the Welcome Home podcast, which is a South Carolina pod run by a couple of fellas over in Columbia and a couple of folks here in the upstate. They heard that. They invited me on. I was like, yeah, for sure. Let's do this thing. So I went on last night to talk a little South Carolina Gamecock football with them. And we were talking about, obviously, their matchup coming up tomorrow against the Monarchs of Old Dominion University. Which, by the way, what a great name. Old Dominion. You have entered the territory of the Old Dominion. Like, I like it. So the Monarchs coming to town tomorrow. ODU and the Gamecocks getting it on at Willie B. And they said, Rob, what's your take on this game? And I said, I got to tell you, the more I've thought about it, the more if South Carolina does not cover. I'm not talking about cover. I'm talking about cover this game, this spread. The more uncomfortable I am going to be about the rest of the year. And here's why. Because we had a conversation about some other stuff. I told them that there was something interesting that happened yesterday. And I don't think it's a bad thing, so I'm just going to say it, and I hope she understands and forgives. We're going to have the new South Carolina beat writer for the Greenville News, who is going to join us on the show to talk Gamecock football starting next Thursday. She was supposed to join us yesterday to start our weekly spot to talk Gamecock football. But she called me after the show yesterday, and she said, hey, Rob, do you mind if we start next Thursday? And I said, no, not at all. Is everything okay? Is everything good? Like, can I help with anything? And she said, no. She said, everything's great. She said, I'm down here. I'm at practice. I'm covering the team, whatever. She goes, I don't really have anything to tell you about. I don't have anything to talk about. And I'm like, well, they play on Saturday. She's like, yeah. I mean, she's like, if you want to talk hypotheticals, like game setup or whatever, I'm good with that. She goes, but I can't really provide you any insight beyond what everybody else has. And I said, okay, what are you saying? And she goes, we haven't been able to really see practices. There's been no open practices. And for the record, South Carolina's not the only ones doing that. Clemson's the same way. John Blau came on last Monday. And I said, oh, what are you seeing from Clemson lining it up for Georgia? And John said, bro, I've been able to watch like 15 minutes total of practice this offseason.
I just want to say, ones. I don't think John's ever said bro in his life, but that's just a guess.
Well, you know, I gotta spice it up.
Speaking of guessing, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know whether to be excited or what, because we don't know anything. It's kind of cool, though, you know? Is it because on one hand, are they just hiding it so we don't know? On the other hand, are they hiding it because they're going to unleash it?
So here's what I said. I'm glad you went that direction. Here's what I said. I said, let me tell you this. First off, the new beat reporter, who will she's going to join us next Thursday on the show. Lulu Kessin is the beat writer who covers the Gamecocks of South Carolina on the ground in Columbia for the Greenville News. She's going to start joining us every Thursday at 8 a.m. starting next week. She said, look, I'm at the facility. I'm there. Every time that they say there's press availability, I'm there. She goes, but here's the thing. I'm not getting any different than you're seeing on YouTube. I'm not getting anything different than you are seeing on the press conferences put up on the website. There's no special local media time. There's no special availability. And she said on top of that, now let me rephrase that. She did not say this. I'm not quoting her. I am inferring based on what she said, and we can ask her about it next week. But the inference that she had, or at least that I took away from that conversation last night, or yesterday afternoon, pardon me, was that even when Shane and the coaching staff are talking to the media, Shane and the coaching staff are speaking in the most coach speak platitudes you're going to find anywhere. Well, we're excited about game one. We're just trying to keep guys healthy. Scrimmage looks good. Everybody's real good. We're just trying to stay healthy. The stuff you say when you don't want to say anything at all. Coach speak. You know what I'm talking about. I go back to the very early portion of this offseason. You all will remember that we had the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, on this very program, which was what, Lonzo, 6 months ago? 5 months ago? Was it last year? When was that?
That was 2 years ago.
That we had Shane on?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been that long?
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Was it that long?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, discussions.
Memory and time are the first things to go.
Dude, I'm struggling. Somebody pointed out that when we roll up to March, which is 6 months away, 6.5 months away, it will have been 5 years since COVID. Half a decade since one of the most monumental periods of time in all of our lives. 5 years in a half a year. It's wild. Anyway, the point is.
And we finally get all those COVID players out of here, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
This is like their last season, I think.
The point is, in the conversations that I have had with sports information directors over there at South Carolina and other media members, et cetera, South Carolina has been very tight-lipped this offseason, right? I know Colin Diesel had Shano on a couple of weeks ago. They've been very tight-lipped about this program during the offseason. And I say this because Cole did a wonderful interview with Shane Beamer, but if I listen to that interview, it's a lot of coach speak, right? You can ask him about direct players. Hey, tell me about Lenore Sellers and his growth. Oh, you know, he's growing, he looks good. There's not really any in-depth conversation going on. And I had the exact same thought that Lonzo did. The exact same thought Lonzo did. Are they, A, terrified that they've had no progression this offseason and that the team's going to be the same or worse than it was last year, and they are just trying to stay the hell out of the limelight and not draw attention to it, A? Or B, are they going to come out and be an entirely new team? Are they going to come out and be an entirely different football team, and we're all going to go, whoa, they got good. Where'd that come from? It feels like, and I will acknowledge that this is entirely subjective, this is entirely emotional, but it feels to me like they're being tight-lipped on purpose, right? Because one of the guys on the pod last night said, Rob, think about this. When is the last time, remember last offseason and the offseason before that, Shane's first and second offseasons? Remember you followed the South Carolina football account on Twitter and they were posting funny sunglass dancing videos and skits from The Office that they recreated, and Shane was all over their social media doing these fun things and surprising the team, and they were doing all the TikTok video dances and all that. You see any of that this offseason?
I have not.
Mm-hmm. You have not. Nobody has. There hasn't really been a whole lot about that. They haven't really been doing that this offseason.
You don't think the Kentucky coach got to them, do you?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I told you. I think that there is one of two things happened. Either A, South Carolina is not good. They just didn't get good. And not good. Better. They didn't get better. Either one, South Carolina did not get better, and they are trying to stay out of the limelight, right? This is why every time that a celebrity gets in trouble for something, right? Tax evasion, DUI, whatever. Anytime a celebrity gets in trouble for anything, what is emergency response step number one? Scrub the internet. Take down the social media, delete your account, get off the internet where the attention is the most forward. Well, if they didn't get better this offseason, and they know they didn't get better, and they know that they're about to come into, because I'll tell you right now, if the same team that played last year plays this year, I don't think you're winning five games. I think you're like 4-8 this year, all right? At best, 4-8, okay? If they didn't get better, then they are taking the remove your internet presence thing very seriously, because there ain't none of it this offseason. No, it's not been there. The other option, and this is the one for your sake, Gamecock fans, I hope is accurate and correct. The other option, to me, is the opposite of that. The other option is that they did improve. They did get better. Rocket Sanders has been tearing it up. Lenora Sellers is going to be that dude. I haven't gotten the chance to play it yet, but all my friends who do from other parts of the country, they tell me that Nicholas Harbor is a Madden 07 Michael Vick style cheat code in that game. The man's a 99 overall, and apparently in some leagues, you're not even allowed to play as South Carolina because Nick Harbor is a glitch in the game. If that comes to fruition, then South Carolina breaks onto the scene. Maybe they come out, they hold a little something back against ODU, they cover the spread, but they don't really show anything because who do they have in week two? Who do they have in week two? The Kentucky Wildcats. The other Stoops. They got baby Stoops, little bro Stoops. Not Big Game Bob, they got Mark Stoops. In week two, you don't think Shane Beamer, if he's got a little something, if they got a little development to lean on, if Nick Harbor is the human cheat code, if Lenora Sellers does got it together as QB1, if they found some dogs on the offense, maybe they come out and they go 65-70% against ODU. They do enough to cover and then just kind of hang out at that number because they're trying to save it all up for Kentucky. Maybe that is the way to handle it. You come out, you beat Kentucky by 35 because you're that much better, and you put the world on notice. But I don't know what's more likely, that they figured something out or that they figured nothing out. But and this realization hit me last night like a stack of bricks. Great one. We ain't heard a damn thing out of the program this offseason. No funny videos. No big emotional speeches. No TikToks.
It didn't hit me till about 6 or 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
I just didn't really think about it.
I wish I was a smart enough fella that I would have said this like 2 weeks ago, but I'm doing the pod last night and we were talking about it and I got like halfway through a thought because I was going to say a line about the, I said, oh, you know, I said, I don't know about you guys, but that week two matchup feels big. I asked them, is South Carolina Kentucky a rivalry now? Feels like it is to me, right? I said, because of the funny glasses and dancing in the locker room comments. I'm like, oh, it kind of feels like a rivalry now. And then as I'm saying that, I went, I haven't seen funny dances or sunglasses this offseason at all. I haven't seen office skits. I haven't seen TikTok videos. I haven't seen any of that this offseason. What is happening? Why? What changed? And there's only one of a couple of things. Either the AD went to Shane and said, do not do any of that crap, focus on football, which I don't think is the case. I think Shane's still there because of the culture building, and they assume talent and wins will follow, or because they're trying to hide something. But are they trying to hide that there's been a ton of progress and growth and development, or are they trying to hide that there's been no progress, growth, and development? Guys, we're going to find out tomorrow when the Gamecocks and the Monarchs tee it up in Willie B. Now we're going to find out if Lonzo's on his A game with this sports flash.
Wow, probably not. The Atlanta Braves squandered a 4-0 lead in the sixth inning to drop the first of four game set on the road to Philadelphia with a 5-4 loss to the Phillies. Atlanta collected seven hits, including a pair of Matt Olson home runs, but struck out 13 times in the loss. Philadelphia's divisional lead grows to six games, while Atlanta's lead over New York for the final wild card spot stays at three games. Coach Prime's Colorado Buffaloes survived a scare from FCS North Dakota State last night, securing a 31-26 win despite a final drive that saw the Bisons inside of the 10-yard line when the clock hit zero. Shedeur Sanders went 26-34 for 445 yards and four touchdowns. That's pretty good, by the way. And make sure you tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Irmo, take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus Irmo, right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.